Where is Ananta? Oh, El Presidente. Huh? In university. Okay. Universally in university. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This evening we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized, text number 68. Tasmad yasya mahabaho. Nigrahitani sarvashaha. Indriyan indriyartebhyas. Tasya pragya pratishtita. Tasmad yasya mahabaho. Nigrahitani sarvasaha. Indriyan indriyartebhyas. Tasya pragya pratishtita. Tasmad yasya mahabaho nigrahitani sarvashaha indriyan indriyartebhyas tasya pragya pratishtita tasmat therefore yasya whose Mahabaho, O mighty armed one, Nigrihitani, so curbed down, Sarvashaha, all around, Indriyani, the senses, Indriya Artebhyaha, from sense objects, tasya, his, prajna, intelligence, pratishtita, fixed. For those of you who don't know, nigrahitani, so curbed down, to curb is to cut short or to stop, to curb the flow of a river, to curb the tide, you know. To curb down means minimized or cut down, whatever. Translation. Therefore, O mighty armed, one whose senses are restrained from their objects, is certainly of steady intelligence. All of you of steady intelligence, please repeat. Therefore, O mighty armed, one whose senses are restrained from their objects is certainly of steady intelligence. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. One can curb the forces of sense gratification only by means of Krishna consciousness or engaging all the senses in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As enemies are curbed by superior force, the senses can similarly be curbed not by any human endeavor, but only by keeping them engaged in the service of the Lord. One who has understood this, that only by Krishna consciousness is one really established in intelligence, and that one should practice this art under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, is called sadhaka, or a suitable candidate for liberation. Tasmad yasya mahabaho nigrihitani sarvashaha indriyan indriyartebhyas tasya pragya pratishtita. Therefore, O mighty armed, one whose senses are restrained from their objects is certainly of steady intelligence. There is a similar verse to this. This is verse 68. Verse 58 is similar. Yada sangharate chayam kurmongani basarvasha. Just like the tortoise or the turtle draws his limbs within the shell. Very interesting to see this. Of course, if you go to a zoo, sometimes you can see it. But if you go to, what is that, Ghat in Vrindavan? Now, there are a few places in the Yamuna in Vrindavan. Kesi Ghat. Anyway, I've been there. They have these huge giant turtles. You go swimming, they can sometimes frighten you a little bit. But if you frighten them, very interesting there. The limbs go into their body. You can actually see it. A living example. So just as a tortoise withdraws its limbs within the shell, indriyan indriyartebhyas tasya pragya pratishtita. The same last line is there. Indriyan indriyartebhyas tasya pragya pratishtita. One who is able to control his senses. And here it says, nigrahitani sarvashaha. Curb down all around. So the mind is the center of the five knowledge-acquiring senses. The five knowledge-acquiring senses are the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, and the tactile sense, the sense of touch, of touching. So, in the practice of yoga, or in the practice of, the goal of yoga is to develop love of God. So either you call it yoga, or you call it love of God, and a very primitive, or almost inappropriate word is religion, religious activity. Any approach, any word, but ultimately the goal is to develop unalloyed love for God, complete union with God, harmony with God, reestablish ourselves in our constitutional position, come out of darkness into the light, become happy instead of miserable. This is the purpose. And therefore we are advised, udared atmanatmanam natmanam avashadayat. Elevate yourself by your mind, or you degrade yourself by your mind. The mind is the center. If you have no control over the mind, then you're in big trouble, because you're simply going to be tossed about in the material world, not only in this lifetime, that lifetime after lifetime, if you think, if you're not happy with your situation in this life, you haven't seen anything yet. And if you are happy with your situation in this lifetime, you haven't seen anything yet. Because we keep revolving up and down. Nothing is permanent, nothing is stable. No matter how many stabilizers you eat, in the food stabilizer, this stabilizer, that stabilizer, no matter how many stabilizers you take, no matter how many crutches you take shelter of, bank account, friends, family, relatives, education, there's no stability, no shelter, no security, and ultimately no happiness. There's no freedom from anxiety. You will always be in anxiety in this material world. Either externally, you'll feel it, or subliminally, inside, although it may not be immediately manifest, inside, you will be worried. You will be in distress. You will be fearful. You may not know it on the surface, but underneath, you're afraid of death. You're afraid of a reaction from your sinful activities. You knew they were sinful. You knew exploiting others was not good. You thought you could get away with it, but you knew in the bottom of your heart that you can't. You've seen others get caught, and you know eventually you will get caught. And that's all going on in our psyche. And you won't be happy as long as your mind is out of control. So how do we control the mind? Who do we know that tried to control his mind and felt that he couldn't? The emperor of the world, Arjuna. He told Krishna, Chanchala Himana Krishna, my mind is just chanchal, jumping from one thing to another. It's another name for Lakshmi also, chanchal. Lakshmi doesn't stay in one place for very long. She stays with her husband, Narayan. She doesn't stay with any karmi. Always jumping. So the mind is like that, always jumping from one thing to another. Sankalpa and vikalpa, accepting and rejecting. That's the business of the mind. The senses are scanning the horizon, taking down impressions. The mind is uploading. And we form impressions. We try to squeeze out a little drop of pleasure. It's all in the mind. There's no pleasure in inert objects. There's no innate pleasure in chemicals. Chemicals without life are not dancing around in ecstasy. They're not feeling or thinking or willing or experiencing anything. They're dead chemicals. So we have experiences, and all of these experiences, we take down something, we create an impression. Our pleasure is another man's poison. We get tired of it and we reject it. We accept something else. And that's constantly going on. You can't stop it. They say variety is the spice of life because they can't stop the variety coming in their head. We can't fix on anything at all. So how to control this chanchal mind? Arjuna said, Vayoriva Sudhuskaram. I would have more luck at controlling the wind. Go out and you know, America's experiencing a little problem with wind these days in the form of hurricanes and cyclones, and you know, you should send a message over to them. Just control the wind. Stop the wind, you know. You're good at technology. Get the guys at MIT to make a little machine and, you know, a little scoop or something, a little big, capture the wind. Forget it. They haven't even seen a wind yet. Wait till they see the winds of devastation. So Arjuna protested. And rightly so. The mind is definitely difficult. Who are we in front of Arjuna? How are we going to control our minds? Well, sarvashaha, on all sides, we have to control by the senses. In other words, we surround ourselves. We engage our tongue in tasting Krishna prasadam. We engage our eyes in looking at pictures of Krishna and looking at the deity and looking at Vaishnavas with Kantimala and Tilak. Someone may wonder, why do we wear Kantimala and Tilak? Well, one of the reasons is because when we see those people, we'll remember Vishnu. When we see devotees in dhotis, we'll remember Vishnu. We won't be able to think of anything except for Krishna. That's definitely one of the reasons we benefit. And the person following that activity also benefits, because he once in a while happens to see himself. And that in contrast to the karmis, the materialistic men who have no faith in God, who are headed down, asradhanasya purusha, dharmasyasya puranta, aprapyamam. They do not achieve me. They do not understand the absolute truth. They do not control the mind. They cannot practice yoga. No matter which Ananda or Baba claims to be teaching them, it's all just a farce. They say we're doing meditation. They're simply doing imitation. It's all bogus. It's definitely not even close to practicing Patanjali's yoga system, even if that were the process in Kali Yuga. It's simply bogus. So when we see ourselves in contrast to them, we remember Krishna. We hear kirtan. We smell agarbatti and so many other things in relationship to Krishna. So when the mind is surrounded, he can't escape. He's trapped, just like the Taliban in Afghanistan, when the Afghani soldiers and the American soldiers and the British soldiers surround them in their cave in the mountain. They're trapped. If they've got an exit, then they live to fight another day. But if they're surrounded, have you ever had that experience? Maybe in a football match, or even in a relationship sometimes, you get caught lying, and you've tried to make excuses, but, you know, finally the evidence comes up and you're trapped. And that feeling, I'm trapped, oh, I'm caught. Oh. That's the way the mind feels when he's surrounded. He just surrenders to Krishna. He has a will of his own directed by the false ego, but when he's surrounded, he's controlled from below. Although intelligence, ego, intelligence and mind are above, but the Panchamahabhut, when you organize them in such a way, the mind has nowhere to work. The mind is the functioning agent of the soul in the material world. And when all of his operatives are Krishna devotees, or engaged in Krishna service. So the key is devotional service. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. Then you can practice restraint when you have a higher engagement. Param Drishtva. This was also discussed. When you have this higher engagement, the mind is controlled, and if we do not have service to do, what is the use in this temple? What is the purpose of the deities? It's to give all of us a chance to do practical work for Krishna. It's a chance for us to engage in serving the deities with our body, mind, and words, with our eyes, with our ears, our nose, our tongue, our tactile sense. Then our minds will be controlled. Then we will become eligible candidates. We'll become sadhakas. We're not even devotees yet. We're trying to become sadhakas. Get that. If you think you're a devotee, then maybe we ought to have another look. At very best, we're trying to become sadhakas. How do we become sadhakas? Satatam, kirtayantomam, vitantascha, dridavrataha, namasyantascha, mam bhaktya, nitya yukta upasate. Constantly, nitya, engaged in serving the deity. You cannot chant 24 hours a day. You're not qualified, even if you thought you could do it. But the Divyanam will not take shelter on your tongue, in your heart, until you show your bona fides, until you engage in some practical sadhana. And that means service. That means work. That means giving your time. That means giving your energy. That means giving the fruits of your work. That means insisting that I want to serve the deity. I want to do this bhakti yoga. For so long, our so-called congregation have just been coming here and enjoying Krishna. They've not been serving Krishna. And somebody, at some point in the management and in this yatra, has got to get it into their heads that people need to serve the deity. They need to work for the deity. Otherwise, they're not going to make practice. They're not going to make progress in devotional service. And we're just going to go on the way it is. And it'll get worse. Because the people who are doing all the work will gradually get burned out. And they're already leaving. This is a halfway house. You know, so people, this is a pit stop. People come here for a few months and then go off somewhere else. Because they just get frustrated. Until you understand a little bit about Bhagavad Gita, instead of reading Bhagavad Gita every night, you should understand Bhagavad Gita and practice Bhagavad Gita and have some practical program. If the congregation does not want to do devotional service, if they don't want to cook for the deities, if they don't want to get initiated and do deity worship, if they don't want to organize themselves so that they can practically do it, then really, we shouldn't have a temple in Ludhiana because it's a farce. We'll have traveling Sankirtan parties. That's all we need. Get a bunch of brahmacharis. Get some vans. It's called go on book distribution. Why should we waste our time with grihamedis? So this is the meaning of Bhagavad Gita. It's so clear here. You go through the second chapter, it says, it's monotonous, the same thing. Over and over again from different angles of view, same thing. Gee, maybe I should surrender. Try and do something about it. Are there any questions?
dominant Christian.
And we have to, like, we just came from Hungary. And, well, apart from the fact that they have a program that they don't change, you know, they have a direction. Everybody knows their mission statement, and they're focused on it. And every 3 months or 6 months, a new management doesn't come in and change it. And everybody knows that it's very clear. But apart from that, if you're not part of the problem, part of the solution, you're part of the problem. So those who are part of the problem, they're welcome to come to the temple. But whereas you charge something for your Sunday feast, they charge three times that. You're paying, the cost of your Sunday feast is barely covering the cost of the ingredients. It's not taking into account the manpower, the work hours, etc., etc., etc. So, you know, you can offer people... Well, there's different ways you can do it. Of course, naturally, you can try to be positive. And you can start organizing groups of devotees. Discuss with them practically. Temple can't go on. If you think you're getting benefit from this temple, then you should practically do some devotional service. And we're going to, guess what? We're going to give you a chance. Otherwise, you're going to hell. But we're going to be compassionate on you. We're going to give you a chance to do devotional service. We want to see if you're qualified first. We're going to interview you to see if you're qualified. Right now, it's like we're begging people. We're not begging people. We don't need their service. Krishna doesn't need their service. But we're going to see if they're eligible. And in a nice way. And then when they do some devotional service, we'll encourage them. We'll give them rewards or whatever, books, and tell everybody that so-and-so was doing devotional service, this one, that one. There are temples around the world that do this, but I would draw attention to the management here that if they, there's a temple in Bombay called Radha Gopinath Temple. I'm not sure if you've been there or aware of it, but, you know, they encourage people to do devotional service. And they really encourage and reward and, you know, thank people for doing it. So that's one way. And have, you can even have little competitions. Some temples I've seen around the world, they have groups. This Sunday, this group of devotees cooks the Sunday feast. I've seen it in Hindu temples, what to speak of ISKCON temples. And then there's another group that cooks next Sunday, and there's a competition to see who can, A, cook the nicest feast, and B, get the largest gathering of people to come for the program. They cook it, and they pay for it, too. So, you know, you get your... They have enough groups that you get a chance to do it maybe once every 3 months or 4 months. You know, you and your group. And then as far as doing the deity worship, etc. Well, there's got to be strong preaching. We can't be wishy-washy. I know how it is. I know how Americans did it. In America, they would preach. There was a Sunday... Well, Gunagrahi Swami is a good example in San Diego. There was the Sunday feast in the temple room. And then outside the temple room, just out the door, like here you have, there were three or four small rooms. And in the Sunday feast, they would find out guests who were interested to know more. They had devotees going around. And then they would take those guests into those little small rooms, and a senior preacher would sit with them and talk to them. And, you know, get a little more, as we say, nitty-gritty, down to the real essence. Nicely, they were expert preachers, but they would explain to them, you know, maybe you should take up chanting. Maybe you should take up some service. Why don't you come in the morning for Bhagavatam class? Oh, I go to school. Well, actually, it's quite early. You could probably, you know, to help them to make progress. And as far as doing service is concerned during the week, give facility. Just like I know a devotee here who's a senior, an older devotee, and, you know, he likes to cook for Krishna. He's a good cook. And I know that if he doesn't get enough engagement in some facility, he'll be history in Slovenia Yatra. Where is our national, our local council members? Where are they? Why aren't they here investigating? You're the only representative whoever comes to the temple. Yeah, minor problem, minor detail. You've had lots of devotees come through here, but they end up going somewhere else. And those are the devotees. People who come here, what do you think they see? People who come or congregate, what do you think they see? They see that every few months, all new faces. Or many new faces. If they see the same faces again and again, happy devotees, they're going to, wow, there's something here. Maybe I should get involved. But if, you know, every 6 months they come and, oh, he went to Salem and he went sailing and he went, you know, this one. They're going to think, you know, it's just, it's all hollow stuff. Why should I waste my time? I'll just practice from outside. So there are ways. If you want to do it, you just network with successful temples and you really make a strong effort, and you've got to have a focus. You've got to keep your mind focused on your mission statement for a number of years. And it should be based around book distribution, prasadam distribution, and preaching. But I know, Tamal Krishna Goswami in the Radha Damodar temple, same thing. Vishnu Jana Swami, he was the, you know, the magical prince. Vrindavan, so beautiful. Radharani, so nice. But you get to Mall. Now, you should just leave your karmic parents and, you know, join our bus party, you know. It's all a lot of nonsense, you know. Just, we'll send a van over to pick up your stuff, you know, you can go now. How much money you got in your bank account, you know? So it was a 1-2 punch. Well, we're not doing that, but at least somebody's got to be telling people that, you know, you should just look what the Bhagavad Gita says here. And then for the people who are what we call them freeloaders, they're spiritual bums, please come to the Sunday feast at the local restaurant. A meal like this would cost, you know, 500 sit, but we're only going to charge you $450. And it's pure. Or something like that. You know, you gotta separate the rice from the chaff. The sincere people from the insincere people. Insincere people, give them prasadam. You know what prasadam is? A little in the hand. Happy Sunday feast with Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu and Maha. Mahaprabhu. You've got to get people doing devotional service. All of you have got to do devotional service. You've got to take up some practical program where you're coming here and doing whatever little service is actually. Why? Does the temple need it? Not at all. We can easily collect for a few buses, go on traveling Sankirtan party, and never look back. So much fun to travel and preach. But if we're going to have a temple, then there's service to do, and everybody's got to pitch in. And that's how you get purified. I can't, you know, I read it. What am I supposed to say? Cover it over, scratch that out? You know, we know that story about, who was it who scratched it out? Huh? Yeah, Brahman scratched out. Krishna says, I personally carry what they lack. He scratched it out. Oh, a boy came. And his wife said, oh, a little boy came. He scratches all over his face. What am I going to do? Scratch this out? Only by devotional service. Only by service. Only by practical work. Only by engaging the senses in the service of the deity. Under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. How many times do you have to hear it? And if you're not getting the guidance of your spiritual master, if he's traveling everywhere else in the universe and comes to Ljubljana once every, you know, few years or once a year, whatever it is, then he better appoint someone here who is his representative and whom you accept as his representative, and then you do devotional service under that person's guidance. But you need to practice devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. One should practice this art. One should practice this science under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. So, you have to judge by the result. You know? Are we serious? I mean, what is our character? We have integrity. We have guts. We have intestinal fortitude. Are we going to stand and fight, or are we going to let the, you know, Serbian army overrun us? Right? Slovenia was ready to fight. Right? I think so. I heard some story. Although there was no chance of them even winning, but they were ready to fight. So let's fight against ignorance. It's your greatest enemy. Otherwise, you're coming back. Just being a shadow devotee is not enough. You have to try. You may or may not become perfect. That's a separate issue. But don't be a hypocrite. Whatever you do, give it your best. Do your best. Follow the path. Try to do devotional service. If you slip, get up again. If you slip 1,000 times, get up 1,000 times. But keep going on the right path. There's no excuse. I've seen them all. I've heard them all. And ahoitukiya pratyata, those who can't toe the line, those who can't do it, well, we'll pray for you. But that's also bogus that you can't do it. What you mean to say is, I choose not to do it. You can. You are physically able. You can try. Maybe it's hard to succeed because of your past conditioning or the body you're in. But you can try with all your heart. Everyone can. And the only thing that's going to convince our congregation to get more involved and do more active service is if we are engaged out front. When they come here to the temple, either we have a Sunday feast or we don't have a Sunday feast. But we, who are the leaders of the community, should mix with the congregation. We should be nowhere else but with the guests who are coming. You go to any church in creation, and the priest meets people when they come in the temple. How are you? How's your family? Thank you for coming to Mass this morning. Whatever. And as people leave, you know, shaking the hands, thank you. It was a nice sermon, Father, thank you. Our leaders should be right there. You're going to have a committee that's leading, then the committee, all seven of them, the magnificent seven, they should all be there greeting the guests. Not some magic formula that's going to make everything work hunky-dory without taking any responsibility, casually. No such animal. Don't waste your time. Become a Christian. They're much better. At least you can justify being a hypocrite. Prabhupada gave us a standard. He gave his life to us on his deathbed. He gave everything to us. It's all there in his books. We just have to read it and not try to scratch it out. We don't need many temples and we don't need many devotees, but we need people who sincerely try. I guarantee you, it's going to be hard and we may not be perfect. Definitely, we may not immediately come to the highest standard. We may even have fall downs. But if we have a community that loves one another, that takes care of its own kind, that everybody in the community is trying their best, then we can help each other. Not a competition. Not a competition. Not an ego game. Any other question? Yeah. Practical effort. What did you say after that? Practical effort in our service? You ask the authorities, is there any service I can do? I'm prepared to do anything you think I can do. What do you do? Are you living in the ashram? Huh? Are you married? Student, you can come here. There's lots of service you can do. Come here whenever you can, but at least 3 or 4 times a week. And sweep the temple floor, even if it's not dirty. Do something. You're giving so much energy to the university and to the society and to so many other things. All the food you're eating, there's so many joules, J-O-U-L-E-S, joules of energy. And you're expending that energy for nothing really transcendental. So come here and give a little to Krishna. Just take it as your duty. God's here. Come and see Him once in a while. Come and pray. Got an exam coming up, you know. Chaitanya, you got to help me pass. I'll cook the Sunday feast next to something. Yeah. Do something. You can do something. You can find time. Is your girlfriend with you here tonight? Huh? You don't have a girlfriend. Okay. If you got one, I'm sure you would take time out from your university to spend time with her. I'm glad you didn't have one because it gave me a chance to use this example. So you can find time to serve Krishna. Even if you don't plan to live in the ashram ever, even then, it's more important for you to do some regular service. Srila Prabhupada was always a grihastha. He never lived in the ashram, but he always came to the ashram whenever he could and served the sadhus and served the deity. He would do something. He would spend his weekends at the temple attending Mangalarti and doing some menial service. They have a system in the Gaudiya Math that grihasthas can come and stay in the ashram and they give them work to do. Quite established system. All of you can do some devotional service. You can come here and do volunteer service. And then you can tell others about it. The management can tell others about it. You can be happy about it. You can ask people, oh, are you doing any service in the temple? Oh, you're not? Oh, okay. I am, but that's all right. You know, make people feel a little like it's something prestigious. Because it is. To be a servant in the palace of the king, that's very prestigious. It's a question of priorities. It's always a question of priorities. If you have even a little bit of sense of time management, you're not totally engaged in space research, then you make time for your spiritual life. Japa and a little seva. You should, they compliment one another. As you chant nicely, you'll get a desire to serve the holy name nicely. If you're chanting and creating offenses, then you won't develop a desire to serve the holy name. You'll get a desire to enjoy the service of others. You'll be a freeloader, a spiritual bum. And, you'll live in the spiritual ghetto. Ghetto. You know what ghetto is? G-H-E-T-T-O. What is it some of you are saying? What would you call it in Slovenian or Serbo-Croatian? Huh? Oh, same word, ghetto. If you're a spiritual bum, then you'll live in the spiritual ghetto. And you won't get Krishna for a long time. Until you come to the point of serving. That's what it is. You'll definitely go back to Godhead, but you've got to come to the point of doing devotional service. Today, or next lifetime, or five lifetimes from now, it's not going to become easier. Oh, I'll wait till next lifetime. It'll be much easier then. No, it's the same decision. You've got to surrender. Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam. Your senses could be serving your genitals, or they could be serving Krishna. They could be serving your mind. It's always like that. It doesn't get any better. In fact, it can get worse. Because by doing a little bit today, you may be born in a wealthy family in your next life, and you may forget all about Krishna for many lifetimes. Because you'll get distracted by all that wealth. You don't want to risk it. So you go into it gradually or quickly, but somehow or other you start the process of doing practical service every day. Something. Even if it's just you call up people to come to the Sunday feast, or you tell the temple president that I can call people on the phone and invite them to come and help with the deity worshiper, to invite them to come and help for cooking the Sunday feast, or something. Use your imagination. There's a billion ways you can serve Krishna if you use your intelligence and your imagination. There's no limit. No limit to the ways you can expand sense gratification. The karmis are certainly doing that. Everything's always new and improved and fancy and this. And every year they make the cars look like they're just the same old, engine and the same old crankshaft and the same old wheels and everything, but they make it look like you're getting a new, improved, souped up overhead, dual overhead cam and dual underhead whatever. There's so many ways you can use the same intelligence to serve Krishna, and He will help you. You've got to have the will. Mantra, Srimad Bhagavad Gita.